Hey, season watchers, thanks for tuning in. We are glad to hear from you. Hope that you are having a good fall so far. Maybe you are back at school, whether you are a kid or a parent or a teacher. Don't forget, we want to help you get into the Phenology Network. There is curriculum to help you bring nature into the classroom. It also helps with students in terms of math and English and writing up their reports, as well as public speaking. Let us know. You can email Charlie at kaxc.org. Up next, it's John Latimer's latest phenology report. John is reporting, of course, on the changes going on. I'm excited. I'm seeing asters out there. Fall flowers are coming into bloom. Let us know what you're seeing. You can leave us a message. Go to speakpipe.com/KAXE.
It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And most of you know that that simply means that, you know, for every season, there are certain signs. And today is the first day of September. And this is the month when fall really makes itself known. But in a pleasant way. You know, you're not going to have a lot of really cold days in September. Frost, for example, the median date for the first light frost is now pushed back to September 29th. When I first started keeping records, we were looking at usually around the September 20th. Was the sort of average first frost, and that is dragging later and later now. The first light frost is September 29th. That's not that's not hard and fast. You can't say that that's what's going to happen, but the average is now moved back to the 29th, and they range as late as the 25th of October. So they're ranging from the 25th of September all the way to early October. Usually I think the 10th is about the latest we've gone without a frost here. So, and we're talking light frost. That's anything below 32. A killing frost, anything below 29, is not likely until well into October. Other things that this season brings are the flowers, and we'll be talking more about this when I get into my notes, but goldenrods peak in September, asters come on in September. If you have New England asters, they're likely to be blooming in September. Color, red maple is, of course, probably our lead actor in terms of color. I have maples in my yard that are beginning to color. I don't have any that are fully colored yet, but that's coming and should be along before too long. The peak is typically near the end of the month, like in the 25 to 30 for peak of color on the red maples. And then, of course, along with that, you're going to have trembling aspen, beginning, paper birch, black ash, roundleaf dogwood, smooth sumac, basswood. By the middle of the month, sumac should be about fully red. It's a season of lots and lots of color. And then in terms of migration, flickers, robins, we're going to see robin flocks around this month. We'll see flickers kind of moving through this month, and sort of by October, not so many. There'll be a few October flickers, and there'll be robins until mid-November, but most of them will be moving out during the month of September. Crows, of course, are flocking up. Monarchs are going to be, you might get lucky and see a flock of monarchs. They are typically going to be heading south this time of year, from typically around the 14th of September. Canada geese are going to be flocking up and moving by mid-month. Eastern bluebirds pass through late in the month, usually after the 20th. Juncos show up at the end of the month of September, which is really a nice, reliable way of knowing that fall is coming because the juncos kind of swing down from up north. Yellow-rumped warblers, kestrels, sharp-shinned hawks, fox sparrows, lots of birds going to be hanging out in the month of September. That's just a little bit of an overview of September. I want to talk to you now about some of the things that I'm seeing that are some are signs of fall and some are just signs of life and kind of exciting. I have a big patch of miscanthus, which is a tall grass that puts out a kind of a plume at the top. It is just now coming up to color. It is bright green. It will fade to a kind of a straw or a khaki color by the end of the month, but right now it's just setting out its flowers. I mentioned great water dock, which is a plant of the wetlands. You're going to find it in sedge meadows, for example, and it's not going to be clumps. It's just going to be an individual here and one over there and one over there, and they are fairly tall, sometimes 5 or 6 feet tall. Right now, they're sort of a corally color. They're kind of a orangey red, but they will become ever more red as we move further into fall. Great water dock. The cousin of this plant is called curled dock, and that's that really dark brown, think coffee-colored brown plant that grows in the ditches pretty much everywhere. And if you got up and looked at it, it looks a little bit flaky, almost like a tobacco product. But that is curled dock. Great water dock is the cousin of the curled dock, and it is much prettier. It's much more red, and it grows, as I said, in wetlands. I have a couple of patches of big bluestem grass, and there's a lot of bluestem grass around the area now. The county and the state are planting it on roadsides, so it's becoming more and more common. My big bluestem grass shot up this last week probably 3 feet, and that was all accelerated growth to get the flower heads up high so that they could pollinate with the wind. Big bluestem grass and its cousin, the little bluestem, have a sort of a reddish blue color to them when they ripen in the fall. So keep an eye out for big bluestem. It's really quite pretty, and mine is just getting started. There are a number of plants that are still putting out fruit or have fruit that is ripening right now and getting ready to be consumed by the birds and the bears and the deer and everybody else. The deer have been in my yard eating the red oak acorns. They were there yesterday morning, a doe and two fawns, and they spent about an hour just munching away at the acorns that are falling out of the oak tree pretty heavily. But northern holly. The berries on the northern holly are just starting to show some red. Mountain ash, those berries are also getting quite red. They will ripen up, I would expect, maybe this week. And I wouldn't be too surprised if the mountain ash berries are gone in a week or two at the most. I think by the middle of the month, mountain ash will be done. I see a lot of plums on some of the wild plums around the area. Looks like a good year for plums. And if you have some, well, get out and enjoy them. They're really quite good. Groundnut, Apios americana, is a lovely flower. It's sort of lavender and kind of a dusky, it's in there in that lavender kind of tending toward brown, but it's a beautiful, beautiful flower, very compact, looks a lot like a flower of a pea plant, has a big keel in the middle of that flower. The interesting thing about the groundnut is that it grows underground. It grows these tubers. They're potatoes, basically, except that they're They have more protein than a potato. They're not quite as big as our domestic potato. But if you have groundnut growing near you, you should maybe excavate a little bit of it and see if you can find some of those nodes, those potatoes that are there with the groundnut and quite good. Nanny berry. I looked at a bunch of nanny berry this week. It's starting to change color a little bit. But I think the most important thing in my house, again this year, I had a great crop of berries coming along, and the birds came in and ate them green. They don't even wait for them to get ripe, so I don't get a chance to eat the nanny berries. Nanny berries are tasty. They're gooey like a fig. They're not juicy, you know, like a cherry. They're gooey, kind of sticky meat like a fig, and they're really not bad. I like them, but they're around my house. They're hard to find because those darned old birds come in and gobble them down. And speaking of birds, trumpeter swans are still here. Sandhill cranes are still here and making a ruckus. I have white-throated sparrows on my feeder doing most of the feeding on the seeds. Purple finches seem to have gone. I'm not seeing any more rose-breasted grosbeaks. So some of the birds that were here all summer have begun to leave. And we had a report last week of some, I just saw a blue jay, so my mind slipped there. But last week we had some talk about orioles, and there may be one or two orioles left in the area. So keep your eye out. And if you see one, why, let us know. We always like to hear about them. Finally, looking at some of the plants that are changing color. First of the maples are showing some color. Spreading dogbane is largely yellow at my house. Milkweed is becoming yellow. Hazel, both American and beaked, are beginning to show a little sign. Not every bush, but certain bushes are showing signs of fall color. And in the case of the hazel, remember the beaked hazel turns yellow and the American hazel turns red. And they can be side by side. At my house, I have them growing in clumps right next to each other. And one of them will turn red and one of them will turn yellow. There's a tree out there usually planted in this area, not native, not spreading, horse chestnut. And it has just begun to turn color, so that's happening. The needles on the Norway pines are starting to turn brown. And it won't be 2 or 3 weeks and they will be falling out of the trees. Same with the white pines, whose needles turn yellow, by the way. So keep an eye out. Flowers still in bloom. Joe pieweed, fireweed is at the end of the asters. I had flat top, northern heart leaved, smooth calico, purple stem. Yeah, just a lot of asters out there, both white and blue. Large leafed asters, goldenrods, gray goldenrod, tall goldenrod, Canada goldenrod. Grass-leaved or flat-topped goldenrod. Yeah, lots and lots of flowers, and most of them asters or goldenrods at this point. And finally, note about insects. This past week, I saw a white admiral butterfly, which is black with a broad white bar through its wings, and that bar is set in from the edge of the wings, so you've got black, white, black, starting from the outside edge and working in. I saw my first morning cloak of the fall, and whether or not I'll see another just depends. But the morning cloak, we see it in the spring after it has emerged from estivation, hibernation, where it spends the winter as an adult. It comes out, lays its eggs. During the summer, those caterpillars go through their instars and develop. And now, this time of year, they are metamorphosing into butterflies, morning cloak butterflies, which are large, very dark, think of them as black, even though they're probably a dark, dark brown butterfly, the size of a monarch with a cream colored border on the outside edge of the wing. And these morning cloaks that we see now will be the ones that will overwinter and emerge in the spring and start the process all over again. So most of these morning cloaks we see this time of year are out searching out places to spend the winter. And finally, down by the lake yesterday, I got a chance to watch a male and female meadowhawk in the circle, in the wheel position. She was busy scraping away at his organs to get his little packet of information that he's going to add to the process. And then she will go off and lay her eggs in grass, on the grass blades of areas where she expects the water to rise and inundate in the spring. And that will then put those eggs into hatching mode. Red meadowhawks, there's a bunch of them, bunch of different ones in the fall. And I never got close enough to these two to get a full, good, clear identification. But if you see a bright red dragonfly this time of year, most of them are meadowhawks and males in the case of the red bodies. Females tend to be brown or gold. The one I saw yesterday was brown, but it was pretty interesting and kind of fun to watch. That's our phenology show for this week. As always, please, if you have observations you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you.